Now, it's an old cliche that the first casualty of war is the truth. In Ukraine, today's violence doesn't mean there's a full-scale shooting war, yet the truth has already become a victim. The Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe says the crisis shows how propaganda and the deterioration of media freedom often fuel a conflict and contribute to its escalation. Its representative on media freedom, Dunja Mijatovic, has called on countries to stop manipulating the media and cease what she calls information and psychological wars. While she's not the first person to say some media outlets are manipulating or distorting what's going on, for example, the Moscow-funded TV channel RT has been accused of that by two of its own presenters on air.
What I do know is that military intervention is never the answer, and I will not sit here and apologize or defend military aggression. Furthermore, the coverage I've seen of Ukraine has been truly disappointing from all sides of the media spectrum and rife with disinformation. Above all, my heart goes out to the Ukrainian people, who are now wedged as pawns in the middle of a global power chess game. They're the real losers here.
Personally, I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. I'm proud to be an American and believe in disseminating the truth. And that is why, after this newscast, I'm resigning.
RT presenters Abby Martin and Liz Vahl there. Well, I've been talking to Stephen Ennis, a Russian media analyst with BBC Monitoring. I asked him about the Russian media landscape.
The key media institutions, and that is television, are nearly all controlled by the state in one way or another. So it's been the Kremlin's kind of strategy to make sure it's had control of TV. Now, there are some independent, privately owned media that present a different picture to what the Kremlin provides. But independent media, as you say, are coming under sort of increasing threat and increasing pressure in recent weeks and months. For example, there's a small independent TV station, Dorsht, and that was providing a very positive view of the protests in Kiev. But that's since been taken out of cable and satellite packages, is now only available really through the internet and through smaller providers.
What about in eastern Ukraine, where most people speak Russian? Do they largely watch Russian media?
Until recently, they've been probably largely watching Russian media. In April, the Ukrainian authorities ordered all cable providers to drop the Russian channels. But some of the protesters who've been taking over government buildings in east Ukraine, they've called for Russian channels to be reinstated.
And so those people who are able to watch Russian television in eastern Ukraine, what are they being told about what's happening in their country?
They're really being given only kind of one side of the story, and that's the side of the story, as you said, that the Kremlin really wants them to hear. Extremists who've taken over the government in Kiev. So this is just one example of Russian TV showing the kind of fears of ordinary people. There's a retired officer in Crimea who says that neo-Nazis have taken over power in Kiev, that they've threatened to hang communists and to butcher Russians.
And we've got another example here. Tell us what's going on in this one.
Last week, two Russian TV channels were somewhat embarrassed by the fact that they showed clips of the same man talking about what happened to him in the southern Ukrainian city of Nikolaev. In one of the TV reports, he was somebody who'd come from Germany and was funding the pro-European or anti-Russian protests. And in the second one, he was a different person. This appeared on a different channel, and this time he was a pro-Russian supporter, and he'd apparently been set upon by pro-European or Ukrainian ultra-nationalists. Some bloggers quickly picked up on this, and it became a bit of a cause célèbre. And just today, one of the TV channels, NTV, put out another report, and they said that, in fact, this poor man, he's a sufferer of schizophrenia, and he was just found himself in hospital surrounded by media.
Right.
And so he was just telling people stories, telling them what they wanted to hear, apparently.
Presumably, though, the Ukrainian media isn't behaving in the way that we at the BBC and other international broadcasts try to behave, which is to tell both sides of the stories. Are the Ukrainians involved in propaganda as well?
I think that they do to some extent, but I don't think they're so kind of one-sided as some of the Russian media. For example, on most Russian talk shows these days, really only one side of the argument is presented. On several of the Ukrainian talk shows, you do hear people putting different points of view. When they invite a Russian speaker along, there will be, you know, a genuine debate, and there will be airtime given to the alternative point of view.
And are you convinced that the Russian media are deliberately trying to mislead the audience in Russia and in eastern Ukraine to manipulate them in some way, or is it just a reflection that they have a different worldview?
They do have a different worldview, and there's kind of an interesting kind of linguistic point here that the Russian word for truth, which is pravda, it does have a slightly different meaning than in English. It can mean your truth, at your point of view, maybe not strictly the actual reality, but it has a validity. It's what's important to you. Interestingly, there was a recent polling organization in Russia that showed that over 50% of Russians now think that it's acceptable for information to be distorted in the state's interests. So even if they are falsifying to some extent what's happening in Ukraine, then a majority of people in Russia think that's fine.
That was BBC Monitoring's Stephen Ennis. So how are things seen from Russia? Dmitry Linick is the London Bureau Chief of Voice of Russia, a Moscow-funded radio station. I asked him whether he thinks there is an information war underway.
Well, it feels that way, definitely. And I think if you read what's being said on both sides of the divide, well, as much as you get access to that, then yes, there's no other way to describe it as other than war.
And the Russian media is manipulating information, spreading propaganda?
Manipulating? Well, I guess you can... That's descriptions. I don't know if you get to the essence of things. There's not a lot that Russia's saying that is untrue. I would sort of go with the main Russian line, basically, even though I will admit that there are plenty of idiots on both sides.
Because there have been accusations that Russian broadcasters and newspapers have effectively been making news up. For example, there were pictures of what turned out to be the Polish border to illustrate a story that Ukrainians were pouring into Russia. There was talk of revolutionary chaos, pictures of violent clashes in Crimea, none of which seems to have really happened.
Well, I'm not sure what RT producers were doing back then, but definitely the facts on the ground were still there. And I remember the figures, even 600,000 Ukrainians applying to travel to Russia, which again was in the British media portrayed as a lie, a blatant lie on the Russian side. But in effect, you've got between 2 and 3 million Ukrainians working in Russia permanently and traveling to and fro. So 600,000 crossing the border, is that such a concoction, invention? I don't think so. Again, I'm not going to defend every producer on the ground with RT or whoever, but generally the information that Russia gets is seldom untrue.
Abby Martin of Russia Today Television said that the coverage of the situation was rife with disinformation. One of her colleagues resigned over it. You work for a government-funded broadcaster. Have you come under pressure to portray the Ukraine crisis in a particular way?
In a particular way, yeah, the Russian vision of the situation, yes. If you call that pressure, then yes, guilty as charged. It's not about the salary that I receive. It's about the vision that I do have and I do share. So Abby Martin qualified her statement on RT that she didn't know enough about Ukraine. You can say that again. The other girl who resigned, there was a murky story about how that whole thing was engineered, orchestrated. I don't want to sort of go into any more detail on that, but that was a fishy, fishy story.
So it's a clash of cultures then. It is a clash of different worldviews.
Absolutely. Of course, Russian media is not blameless. Just as the UK media is not blameless, and even less so is Ukrainian media blameless, it's just different perspectives. It's seldom blatant lies.
Does it make you sad as a journalist, though, that journalists, media organisations are dragged into this? They are effectively now part of a country's war effort.
Well,
has it always been the case?
I've been in the business for 40 years. I'm familiar with both sides of the coin. And let me tell you, there's no such thing as objective journalism. It's always going to be coloured.
That was Dmitry Linick there from the radio station Voice of Russia.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.